Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look at two questions for the Ask the Pastor, one for Acts chapter 28 and one for 1 Corinthians 15. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, hello, everybody. This is Pastor Gary on the At the Table podcast. And this week, I have pre-recorded a couple of responses to questions I was asked for the Ask the Pastor section. And so, just in case you don't know what that is, you can go to our website at gccofalliance.org, click on the At the Table podcast, and there you will find a link for Ask the Pastor that you can submit a question. Those as a member of our church at Grace Community Church can submit that form as well to the offering basket or through our Facebook page, whatever, and we will get to that. But today we're going to look at two questions. One is, what happened to Paul in Acts chapter 28? Essentially, Acts chapter 28 ends very abruptly, and we'll look at that and what does the Bible say, what does church history say, all those things. And then we will also look at reconciling 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection of the dead, and 2 Corinthians 5:8, where Paul states, as well as some other places, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What does that mean? Well, without further ado, let's get right to it. Well, this question came in from a church member about 2 weeks ago. It was one that was titled Ask the Pastor. It actually came in through Facebook, so I just wanted to read this question really carefully, quickly, and then comment on it a little bit. As we know, the person goes on to say, as we know, the book of Acts was written by Luke. It ends with chapter 28. It is a cliffhanger. Does the Bible carry on to say how the story ends? Does he, Paul, ever get to appeal to Caesar in person? I just know hearsay. Well, this is an awesome question. You know, we're in the beginning of the book of Acts right now. In fact, this week I will be preaching on Acts chapter 6 at the time of this recording anyways, as we look at growing pains from within and without. But in Acts chapter 28, this individual is entirely correct. It is like Acts chapter 28. They're in full-blown story mode, telling about all the things that are happening, and then suddenly it just ends. And it just kind of goes on at the end here. The last few verses just say, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house, welcomed all who came to see him boldly without hindrance. He preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus. So this is talking about Paul in his house arrest, if you will, is I think the best way I could explain it. Yes, it's prison, quote unquote, but it was house arrest. And so it tells he could kind of come and go as he wanted. And if you remember this story, you know, Paul is basically falsely accused. He says, I am appealing to Caesar. Did you know that? Did you know that I'm a Roman citizen? And so they were actually, you know, it seems like they were going to let him go, but they had, since he appealed to Caesar, he went to Rome. And so right here, it just kind of, at the end of the book, it seems like it just kind of ends. And we realize that, you know, if you read his other epistles, his writings, it talks about some of these things happening here, and it does seem to me that there is no concrete sentence, as I said. I think this is what I said. Thank you for being so patient. From the church historical documents, it does seem that Paul was released from prison after Acts 28. And so if you read some church history, you see, and also kind of conjecture based on some of his later writings, like 2 Timothy, for instance, it talks about a more persecuted type of jail time, one where he's really not under house arrest, but really in jail. And it kind of gives you this impression that he's back in jail at that time. This time at the end of Acts chapter 28, 2 years under house arrest, is considered Paul's first imprisonment. It's kind of the general consensus from church history. He wrote several epistles from here, as we know, and as to what happens next, there does not seem to be a direct writing for this in the Bible. However, it is widely accepted he got out. And so, yes, he would have had this chance to appeal to Caesar, and he was let out. And since we know he was innocent, this is conceivable. that this would have happened and that he would have in fact been let out. According to church history, he was free to minister at that point. And you know, if we can take some conjecture here, knowing Paul like we do, he had mentioned many times that he wanted to get as far west as he could, you know, to Spain. There was other places he wanted to get back to. We think of Philemon. He said he was going to come back to him and some different other points. So we've got to believe that if Paul was set free with no constraints, that he would have done some of these things. It is believed that he possibly even, yes, got all the way west to Spain. However, it does seem that he was imprisoned again. While the Bible does not say so for sure, some of the language in 2 Timothy specifically about being under duress, this imprisonment was not merely house arrest. And if we think about timeline-wise, you know, in Acts chapter 28, we think that's somewhere in the 60, 61, 62 frame. And we realize that, you know, church history tells us he was in fact believed to be martyred under you know, probably in the time of Nero, which was later in the time frame, you know, mid to late 60s. And so, of course, church history would say that he was martyred for his faith in his late 66 or 67. This is really this pastor's assertion based on study, and specifically one really, really helpful note was from Nelson's quick reference commentary by Warren Wiersbe, who is, you know, one of those legends, if you will, one of those pastor of pastors. And so I kind of just wrapped up this statement with saying, hopefully this helps. Definitely on my list of questions for Jesus for specifics. But I think we can rest pretty confidently that Paul was released from that imprisonment at the end of Acts chapter 28, that he probably had some additional ministries that led eventually to him being, you know, as Paul being Paul, he said the truth and he spoke it boldly. And so this led to him being persecuted further and probably then martyred, as it is believed in church historical documents. And then so that kind of, again, goes along with some of the writings in 2 Timothy, but again, nothing specific, but that is a pretty concrete answer, I think, pretty widely accepted as far as I could tell. But if you got any questions on that or some rebuttal or interesting comments, feel free to comment below. Well, here is another question offered by a member of our church, and I thought I would just tackle this to the best of my ability. And this was a good one. This was a doozy. Let me just set the context for this. The main biblical passage on the form says 1 Corinthians 15, which is a broad category, but also 2 Corinthians 5:8. The question is this: the resurrection of the dead, those who have fallen asleep, as the Bible says, will rise when Christ comes. The statement was that this person believes when they die, they will be instantly be with Christ, but they are a little confused by this, the dead will rise. And so I can just tell you this, this is a great one here. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first of all, remember, 1 Corinthians was written to the church in Corinth at that time. And you know, at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is really making this bold statement. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By the gospel you are saved. Verse 3, for what I received, I pass on to you of most importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. And so a little bit later on here, that gets into the discussion over resurrection. And there was some in that church at that time, back in the first century, that believed the resurrection didn't exist. And so Paul is kind of laying it out here. The full gospel really hinges on the resurrection of Jesus. And he's boldly stating, listen, this happened. I witnessed the resurrected Jesus, and more importantly, others in the early church, as we've been studying for Acts, Peter, John, others clearly were witnesses for what they saw. And so they were just saying, you know, listen, if the resurrection couldn't happen, then Jesus couldn't have resurrected. And everything we believe is basically based on false evidence. And he goes on to adamantly state that, yes, the resurrection happened and Jesus resurrected, but that wasn't the end of the story. We realize that all of us on this earth, unless Jesus comes back before we die, that we're going to die. That's part of the curse of sin. Our bodies give out, they waste away, and they fall away. But in Christ, we recognize that we too are going to be resurrected. So kind of fast forward a little bit to the second book, 2 Corinthians 5, specifically verse 8 says this, and by the way, this isn't the only place that Paul makes this statement, but he says, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. In Philippians 1, he even goes as far as saying, it would be better for me to depart from this world and to be with the Lord. And so you see those two questions, and by the way, I think that's the hope that we live by, right? That when our bodies die, we don't just die, but our souls live on, and we will be with God. So then this just bears the question is, are these two contradictory? And so I'm going to introduce a second passage, which Paul wrote as well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. And this one, I would just say this one's a little bit plainer as far as trying to wrap our mind around. Sometimes Paul writes in incredibly long run-on sentences. He gets so emphatically into these things that sometimes it's not always easy to keep up with where he's going. And 1 Corinthians, sometimes in verse chapter 15, that gets a little bit challenging. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, basically talking about the same idea, this is what he says, starting in verse 13, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. And by the way, falling asleep would have been that language used the day, you know, dead, their body died. Or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Now catch that verse. That is critical. We realize that when people die, they're separated from us on this earth. But if what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that their soul lives on, that they in fact are with God now, we don't grieve as those without hope. So in other words, we still grieve because we miss them, but we realize that the hope that they have in Jesus. We believe, verse 14, that Jesus died and rose again so that we may believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you, that we who are still alive and who are still here left at the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven and with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, those who are still alive, who are left, will have caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I'm just going to stop there. First of all, this passage then leads into some further doctrine that is outside the scope of this question per se about eschatology or the end times. And, you know, this being lifted up gives to the idea of the rapture and the body is meeting Jesus in the sky. And so then we say, well, wait a second, if our body is dead, what happens after that? And what is that statement, absent from the body, present with the Lord, a misnomer, or is that literally true? Well, Here's what this pastor believes. Essentially, that I believe both of those things are true. One commentator says it so much better than I could, so I'm just going to piggyback off of what he says, reply a little bit more to that, and then kind of address again back to the original question. So the commentator says this when talking about will rise first, the dead in Christ raised and stuff like that. There will come a day, he says, when in God's eternal plan, the dead in Christ will receive the resurrection bodies. So then there's kind of the first ingredient, realizing that as a creation, not only do we have a body, but we have a soul. And really the soul is what it's eternal. That's clear in Scripture throughout the Old Testament, New Testament. The soul is what is eternal because we realize that when sin entered the world, death entered the world. And that our earthly bodies were marred by sin. We have sin nature, and that will die away. So again, they said, there will come a day, the commentator said, when in God's eternal plan, the dead in Christ will receive the resurrection bodies. Yet, until that day, we are confident that the dead in Christ are not in some kind of soul sleep or suspended animation. Paul made it clear that to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8 and Philippians 1:23. Either the present dead in Christ are with the Lord in spiritual body, awaiting their final resurrection body, or, here's another option, because of the nature of timeless eternity, they have received the resurrection bodies already because they live in the eternal now. Or even a third option is that they are in spirit with the Lord until that day when they receive their resurrection bodies. So that doesn't give a real clear definitive, it must be this, because here's the reality of things is we don't know. So much of this is out of our scope of understanding. You know, we realize that God's ways are higher than our ways, but what can we hold true to that is absolutely 100% true? As a follower of Jesus, we receive eternal life. And this pastor believes that eternal life starts the moment we receive that gift, that good gift, the grace of God is given to us because of the work of Jesus on the cross, his death, burial, and then his resurrection. Because of that, we know that our souls are God's. They're Jesus, because of what Jesus did, we are his. Someday we're going to die unless Jesus comes back before that. And when we do that, Scripture is clear to me that we are absent from the body and present with the Lord. And then at some point, there is going to be, according to how I read the Bible, there is going to be a rapture. There is going to be a time when this new heavenly body is given to us. And at some point, there will be a forever worship of God where we are with him forever. So I don't know if this helps this person answer the question or not, but my basic response is, how do we reconcile these things? Well, they're essentially two pieces to the same puzzle. And understanding that we, like in 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us, we grieve when people die in this earth, but not without hope, because if they're in Christ Jesus, we believe that they are with them in spirit. And at some point, we are all going to be reunited in resurrection bodily form, and we will serve, worship, and be at the beck and call of our Lord and Savior, and that is going to be a wonderful day. Well, I hope this has helped, and if you have any further questions or comments, please comment on the podcast below. Send an email to grace13245@yahoo.com to say, Pastor Gary, ask the pastor, something to that nature, resurrection of the dead, something like that, and just kind of ask that question and we'll follow up. But I hope this has helped you in your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Well, I hope today's message has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And until next time, everybody, we'll see you later.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.